A popular attack against the Quran is the claim that it was inspired by occult forces such as demons, which is an argument that is typically put forward by Christian apologists and missionaries. In this video, we take a unique approach to refuting this attack, one that involves comparing the Quran to a real occult text.
Bury me in a nameless grave. I came from God, the world to save. I brought them wisdom from above, worship and liberty and love.
Aleister Crowley was a renowned 20th century English occultist. At the height of his notoriety, he was widely considered to be the wickedest man alive. A prolific writer, his most famous work is the Book of the Law. Although it was Crowley's own hand that penned the text, he denied being its author. Crowley claimed that during his travels to Egypt in 1904, a supernatural entity that called itself Iwas made contact with him. Iwas, described by Crowley to be a being of intelligence far beyond that of human beings, proceeded to dictate the Book of the Law over the course of 3 days. After this experience, Crowley publicly announced his prophethood and claimed that he had been chosen by the gods to guide humanity into a new spiritual age. He went on to found the religion of Thelema, which he based on the principles of the Book of the Law. What makes Crowley an ideal candidate as a point of comparison is that his claims mirror that of Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the sense that he also claimed to be a divinely inspired prophet chosen to enlighten mankind. Had, the manifestation of Nuit. The Book of the Law begins in the name of two ancient Egyptian deities, Had and Nuit. Had was believed to be the lord of the sky and was depicted in the form of the winged sun disk. Nuit was believed to be a sky goddess and was depicted as a naked woman spanning the horizon. This twin pairing of the male and female divine aspects happens to be very common in pagan religions and occult philosophies. Contrast this with the Quran. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. The Quran begins in the name of Allah, which is an Arabic word meaning the God. The Quran teaches that there is only one true God, the creator of everything in the heavens and the earth, and the one who inspired prophets such as Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. When it comes to worship, the Quran declares, "And of his signs are the night and day, and the sun and moon. Do not prostrate to the sun or to the moon, but prostrate to Allah, who created them." We can see that the Quran forbids that worship be directed to anything other than the Creator. By comparison, the Book of the Law, like many pagan religions and occult philosophies, deifies nature. It's clear from the very outset that both books could not be more different when it comes to the concept of God. Ironically, it is those Christians linking the Quran to occult forces who actually have a concept of God, that of the Trinity, which is steeped in paganism and would not be out of place in Crowley's Book of the Law. Every man and every woman is a star. This is typical of how the Book of the Law engages with its audience, appealing to base emotions such as vanity and arrogance. Again, this is common in pagan religions and occult philosophies, with their extravagant costumes, lavish ceremonies, and elaborate rituals. They also teach that man has the potential to ascend and become godlike. Contrast this with the Quran, which reminds those who possess such characteristics, Allah loves not the arrogant, the vainglorious. The Quran provides the perfect antidote for those afflicted with such diseases. We are humbled by its reminders of our lowly origin. Does man not consider that we created him from a mere sperm drop? The Quran also highlights the danger of such traits when it relates the story of the downfall of Satan, whose pride prevented him from obeying Allah's command to prostrate to the first human being, Adam. Allah said, "What prevented you from prostrating when I commanded you?" Satan said, "I am better than him. You created me from fire and created him from clay." We can see that from a Quranic perspective, the Book of the Law is diabolical in its methodology when it appeals to and encourages traits such as vanity and arrogance, which are satanic in essence. Let my servants be few and secret. The rituals shall be half known and half concealed. Secrecy is another hallmark of the occult, which typically operates in the shadows. Very little of what goes on behind closed doors is known to the public. Outsiders are offered glimpses in order to lure them in, but it's only when one is initiated into the occult and rises through its ranks that one gains full access to its teachings. By contrast, the Quran encourages Muslims to outwardly declare their religion. And who is better in speech than one who invites to Allah and does righteousness and says, "Indeed, I am of the Muslims." The Quran even condemns those who conceal knowledge from others. Indeed, those who conceal what we sent down of clear proofs and guidance, those are cursed by Allah. We can see that unlike the occult, Islam's teachings are freely and openly available to all. Let's now compare this to Christianity. Paul taught, "But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." Paul said that while God's message is freely available to all, only those endowed with the Spirit can actually comprehend its true meaning. We can see that again, ironically, it's actually Christianity that bears more of a resemblance to pagan religions and occult philosophies, because it too contains mystery teachings. That is, knowledge that is publicly available and in plain sight, but only intelligible to those who are insiders. "Do what thou wilt" shall be the whole of the law. "Do what you want" is the central tenet of Crowley's religion of Thelema. This philosophy, which is satanic to the core, debases human beings by reducing them to the status of animals. For what are animals other than creatures of desire, acting on impulse with no regard for moral rights and wrongs? By comparison, morality in the Quran is not dictated by the whims of human beings. "Have you seen he who has taken as his God his own desire?" Let's now take a look at the kind of morality the Book of the Law encourages. "To worship me, take wine and strange drugs whereof I will tell my prophet, and be drunk thereof. They shall not harm ye at all. Lust, enjoy all things of sense and rapture." We can see that the Book of the Law promotes vices such as promiscuous sex, alcohol and drugs, which bring with them a whole host of societal harms such as disease, addiction and financial ruin. From a psychological perspective, it's interesting that the Book of the Law happens to condone and encourage the very vices that Crowley himself indulged in before he announced his prophethood. By contrast, the Quran teaches the exact opposite. "O mankind, eat of that which is lawful and wholesome in the earth, and follow not the footsteps of the devil." Islam wants believers to be strong in mind, body, and spirit. Anything that is harmful to the individual or wider society is prohibited. Unlike the Book of the Law, the Quran prohibited the harmful vices that the 7th century pre-Islamic Arabs indulged in. This shows us that the author of the Quran prioritizes the well-being of mankind over our whims and desires. "For there is none like unto thee among men or among gods. Lift up thyself, O my prophet, thy stature shall surpass the stars. They shall worship thy name." What should we make of these lofty claims that Crowley's stature shall surpass the stars, and that there is none like him among men or gods? On the one hand, Crowley became an icon in the 1960s, with his libertine attitude to sex and drugs striking a chord with countercultural movements. However, in terms of the world stage, this prophecy is an abject failure. It's been over a century since the Book of the Law was first written, and over half a century since Crowley's death, and yet his impact on the world stage is negligible when compared to other religions and movements. Another example of a failed prophecy is the following: "But your holy place shall be untouched throughout the centuries, though with fire and sword it be burnt down and shattered. Yet an invisible house there standeth." Crowley identified the holy place mentioned here in the Book of the Law as Beleskine House, a manor on the southeast side of Loch Ness in the Scottish Highlands. Crowley purchased this property in 1899 because he believed its architecture and secluded location were ideal for the performance of magic rituals. In 2015, Beleskine House was badly damaged in a fire in mysterious circumstances, thus fulfilling the prophecy that it would be burnt down, according to followers of Crowley. Now, upon reflection, this is an unremarkable prediction for a number of reasons. Firstly, it could be self-fulfilling, as it's possible that a follower of Crowley intentionally set the house on fire in order to make the prophecy come true. Secondly, even if the fire was just an accident, houses burn down all the time, so such an event is commonplace. Thirdly, one could argue that its destruction was inevitable, as the house has long been feared by Scottish locals, who had a motive to rid their community of what many perceived to be a place of great evil and bad luck. Now, where the prophecy falls apart is the mention that Beleskine would remain an invisible house after its destruction. Recently, Scottish authorities acknowledged the house's remains as a heritage site, and it is currently under restoration with plans to make it a tourist attraction. The Book of the Law is in fact filled with such inaccurate prophecies, regardless of which entity inspired the work, be it demons or even Crowley's own subconscious. What we know for certain is that it is not the product of a divine being. This is because divine beings have accurate knowledge and insight into the future. By comparison, the Quran and teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, are filled with accurate prophecies. Check out my video, Mind-Blowing Prophecies of Muhammad, to see many such examples. What this shows is that the one who inspired them has genuine knowledge of the unseen, which is a characteristic of God. The best blood is of the moon, monthly, i.e. menstrual blood, then the fresh blood of a child, or dropping from the host of heaven, then of enemies, then of the priest or of the worshippers, last of some beast, no matter what. We can see that the Book of the Law emphasizes blood as part of its rituals and goes into great detail in defining a blood hierarchy. Note its prioritization of human blood above that of animals. While the Quran does encourage sacrifices, only animal blood is permitted to be spilt. So mention the name of Allah upon them, camels and cattle, when lined up for sacrifice. Then eat from them and feed the needy and the beggar. Their meat will not reach Allah, nor will their blood, but what reaches him is piety from you. We can see that there are key distinctions between the Quran and the Book of the Law. Not only are sacrifices restricted to animals, we are also informed that it is not the spilt blood that matters to Allah, but rather the pious acts of obedience and feeding the poor and needy with the animal's meat. These are the purposes behind the animal offering. The spilt blood is of no value in and of itself. Ironically, it is Christianity, which is centered around the blood sacrifice of Jesus, that parallels the Book of the Law. Christianity paints God as a vengeful being whose wrath can only be appeased by the spilling of human blood, a common theme in pagan religions throughout history. In this video, we have tackled the claim that the Quran is demonic in origin by taking the unique approach of comparing the Quran with the Book of the Law, a genuine occult work. This is a practical technique that has highlighted the absurdity of such claims, as we have seen just how radically different they both are. The Quran possesses numerous miraculous qualities, which you can check out in other videos on this YouTube channel. Logically, if the Quran and occult works are demonic in origin, then one would expect the latter to also demonstrate such miraculous qualities. Yet we find the exact opposite. They are filled with shortcomings and mistakes, which is a hallmark of limited beings. This proves that they cannot be from the same source. The reality is that Christian missionaries and apologists are overwhelmed by the Quran, and out of sheer desperation, they resort to explaining away the evidences for its divine origin by resorting to low-level polemics.